and welcome to the Daily Info Oxcast. It's the usual midweek roundup of all the most exciting, unusual, entertaining events happening in and around Oxford.
This week I'll be talking about new music, 3D printers and ice hockey, all in Oxford.
I'm going to be talking about psychics, sustainability and a hot air balloon. How do any of these things happen in events? Let us tell you.
So what can we do tonight, Anaïs?
Well, tonight until Saturday, you can see the Oxford School of Drama's third-year students perform Leo Tolstoy's Anna Karenina at the Pegasus Theatre. That's a lot of information to take in, digest. I saw third-year students' piece last year, which was Machinal at the Pegasus, and it was really great. It was really memorable. I still have really vivid images of it. And I also spotted quite a few of the actors in the last year doing other kind of local and professional shows.
Oh, cool.
So I'm really excited. I'm going to be checking it out tonight myself. They are performing an award-winning adaptation of Anna Karenina, which was written by the playwright Helen Edmondson and was originally written for Shared Experience, who are the Oxford Playhouse's resident company.
Okay.
So kind of nice, keeping it local. Mm. It's obviously going to be a great script and it's a really powerful story. So do check out the Oxford School of Drama's talented third-year students. They're on every evening at 7:30pm at the Pegasus until Saturday, when there's also a matinee.
Cool. Or you could see some other Oxford students performing at the Playhouse this week, Wednesday to Saturday at 7:30, with matinees on Thursday and Saturday. Semi-Mond, Noel Coward play. It's a very rarely produced play, so kind of interesting if you do like his work and maybe don't get a chance to see this one quite so much. It's written and set in the 1920s, set in the lobby of the Paris Ritz, and it follows these people in the elite class and shows their extravagance and indulgence and sort of sexuality and homosexuality. It's quite controversial, not really produced when it was first written, but it's all just a big mask for the tedium of life in the elite.
Mm. And it's apparently, like Gatsby-esque, sort of riding on the back of that,
yeah,
sort of popularity of 20s glitziness.
Very in vogue. They're going to have a live jazz band on stage and an on-stage bar. I don't know if they'll actually be drinking. I know I went to see Conversations on a Homecoming before by Tom Murphy, and in the play they have to drink the alcohol as they're on stage and get as drunk as they're supposed to be acting. So I don't know if they're going to be doing that one. Semi-autobiographical, my Noel Coward, and yeah, it's on all week, Wednesday to Saturday.
Two great pieces of student theatre.
Mm.
On to Thursday.
Introducing our resident paleontology expert, Jen has an event for us.
I do have an event for you. In fact, I have two events for you sort of combined into one. So the first one is Dinosaur Zoo Live, which is coming to the new theatre in April. Now, this is slightly overly advanced warning.
This is out of my scheduled week, but I'm going to have to stretch that week quite far.
But the link is that they are coming to give a sort of sneak preview to the newly opened Natural History Museum this Thursday at 2:30pm. Of course, it's half term, so it's ideal sort of timing from that point of view. And I think the dinosaurs are on tour, and they happen to be passing Oxford, so they're going to nip into the museum, perhaps to shake hands with their fossilised cousins. And they're going to be roaming around. These dinosaurs, I believe, are life-sized puppets, and it's a whole range of different puppetry techniques, but they are absolutely fantastic. The puppeteers are quite obvious, but because they've got the movement so animalistic, that doesn't matter at all. It really looks like there are animals. There's a brilliant preview on dinosaurzoolive.com if you want to have a look at them. Or, of course, just go down all those.
I think we might be taking a light, slightly long lunch on Thursday. I've got my laundry. It sounds really fun. It's really, really incredible. And if you can't make it, do look at the videos, because it's exceptional puppetry.
They recommend it for ages 3+, so perhaps the really tinies might be a bit scared by the enormous teeth. But it looks brilliant.
And you can get your lunch there in the new cafe as well.
You can indeed. They've got a mini branch of Morton's called Morton's in the Museum, which has its own crockery, which is absolutely gorgeous. And dodo's on it. Dodo's. It's really lovely. And dinosaur biscuits, dinosaur lunch boxes. It's all a bit kind of museum themed. We went on Saturday morning to the grand opening, and the roof looks absolutely gorgeous. It looked as if everybody was sort of delighted to get their museum open again. By the time we left, it was completely crammed.
Thank you. There's something more unusual for a Thursday night at the Ferryman Inn, which is in Northmoor, sort of between Oxford and Whitney. The inn is hosting a psychic supper by the river. They're on the River Thames. Hopefully it's not going to be a psychic supper in the river. Hopefully the flood's okay there, not just be by the river.
Check the weather.
So for £20, you can enjoy a lovely supper, followed by a private reading. And you have a selection of not one, not two, but three psychic mediums. So I'm kind of hoping they've got different skills. Like one will do
so they have to pitch for your work.
Maybe. Or maybe it's just kind of who you kind of feel. It's all the feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
My granny often likes to read tea leaves and tell us. All she sees is trees, ballet dancers and tall men. And none of these really feature in my life. Either way, it's not your usual after-dinner entertainment, but for £20... a nice meal and a potentially enlightening conversation about...
It'll certainly be entertaining.
...your future, your past. It's 7:30pm, and that's tomorrow, Thursday, 20th of February, at the Ferryman Inn in Northmoor.
Or you can do something completely different. This is all completely on the other end of the scale. Tomorrow as well, on Thursday, this is going to be at Film Oxford, and it's a 3D film night. And it's basically a meet-up, and it's going to have three talks in it, and they'll be talking about different aspects of 3 or even 4D.
What?
Stuff. Basically, so the first one is going to be on Adobe After Effects CC and Cinema 4D Lite, and it'll be like a tutorial of how you would work with those applications to create like sort of 3 and even 4D
effects in your film.
Yeah, brilliant. Exactly. And then the second one is about 3D printing. So hopefully they'll be able to show you some cool 3D printing there, and then that'd be awesome.
Maybe we'll print the sheet in 3D one day.
Maybe. That'd be cool. And then the last one is 3D photography, and it'll be introducing different methods and of 3D photography and depth cameras and uses and stuff like that. So if you're interested in photography or filmmaking or 3D printers, because they're all pretty cool, then go along to that. It's Film Oxford on St Catherine Street tomorrow, 7:30 to 9 o'clock.
And now on to Friday, Orla. I've got a gig, but you've also got a gig,
let you go first. Yeah, this is at The Cellar. Harley Blue, she's a Nottingham hip-hop soul singer who is coming to Oxford. She is really, really cool. She's got such diverse appeal as well, like Radio 1, One Extra and BBC Six Music all love her. She's sort of like Paloma Faith, with a bit less quirky, a bit more cool, with some awesome dreadlocks. And
That's nice.
Yeah, she's got an incredible voice. She's going to be really, really good. She'll be accompanied by her band, and then there'll be support from Red Soul Brigade, who are... a brigade of soul music players, maybe communists, I don't know.
Brigade's a good word, there should be more brigades.
Yeah, that's at 8 o'clock, £5 advance, £6 on the door. She also played at my a very cool place in Cardiff a week ago as well, called Goody Who, which means owl, and it's a very nice pub.
So she's got good taste in venues,
exactly,
as well.
Yeah,
that's what you want to see in a singer. Also on Friday, Irregular Folk are launching Jess Hall's new album at the Hollywell Music Room. This is going to be a really busy event because the advance tickets have already sold out, so if you want to be there, you want to be there early, and that's 7:30pm on Friday. So Jess is an Oxford-based singer, and she's going to perform the entirety of the album in the order during this launch,
cool.
Which I think is quite unusual. I don't see that done often, but it makes so much sense, and it's so nice if you've got an album that's really thought through as a whole concept and piece together to see it done, every single song done live,
yeah,
kind of just how they should be. So very good idea. She's also got a few free downloads available, so you can listen to those in advance of the gig and smother yourself in her melodic acoustic guitar tunes, and her lyrics are really personal and it's really gentle. It kind of makes you go really insular, that kind of music just sort of makes you kind of turn in on yourself and just sort of
emo,
but like pretty emo, not awful emo. So it's perfect for the intimate Hollywell Music Room. So like I said, get in line nice and early for Jess Hall's album launch. The album's called Bookshops, and the launch is 7:30pm on Friday. If you want to find out a bit more information about any of the events we've talked about so far, or any other event which is happening in or around Oxford, you can see dailyinfo.co.uk.
There's also reviews of lots of the events, plays, gigs and cinema that's all happening in Oxford at the moment. You can also find a job or find somewhere to live. I've got everything on Daily Info.
So we haven't talked about Blenheim Palace in a while, and they tend to always have something on. So what have they got on at the moment?
Well, about a week ago, a new exhibition started there. As we all know, it's 100 years now since the start of World War I, and they've got an exhibition to commemorate it. And it's going to be showing the estate's role in the war effort from the Spencer Churchill family and Winston Churchill, and also the workers on the estate, but also the house's transformation into a convalescent hospital for the wounded soldiers, just like Downton Abbey.
God.
Real-life Downton Abbey. It's going to be shown with documents and artefacts and scale reconstruction of a trench as well.
Wow.
World War I trench. They've got one of those at the Imperial War Museum as well, I think. So that's really
Don't go
cool.
there, though. Go to Blenheim.
Go to Blenheim Palace, exactly. Much closer. And it's going to be shown in the gallery room and the stable courtyards. Palace Park and Gardens Pass costs £21.50 for an adult, but you can exchange it for a 12-month pass once you get inside. To go to a little booth and you get a full year for that price, which is quite cool. It's 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pretty much every day, and it's running until the 21st of April.
Nice to have so many different things as well, very varied. It's not just kind of an exhibition in a room. It's sort of taking over the whole land.
And yeah, and there's the whole rest of of the park and gardens and the palace that you can see at the same time that you can see all the time, but this is just an exhibition that's coming as well. But you can go see the maze, which is always good, and the rest of the house. So Anaïs, what's it like to work in a museum?
Well, we talk a lot about the museums in Oxford and the events and exhibitions they've got going on quite a bit, as Jen demonstrated. But you can find out about the museums themselves and what it's like to work in one at the Pitt Rivers this weekend. On Saturday, from 11 till 4, there'll be conservators, curators and technicians, and they'll be on hand to tell you more about what they do and answer your questions. But if maybe like me, you prefer a more structured discussion and distance, then there's a panel debate from 2 till 3pm in the neighbouring Natural History Museum. And in the panel discussion, there's professionals from the museums, the authority museums, the university museums, as well as local art galleries. And you can listen to them or quiz them to find out more about their careers. So whether or not you're looking for a job in this area, it will still make a really interesting afternoon, and you'll hopefully pick up some really cool insider knowledge as well about the back end of the museum and what happens when the lights are off. So you can head to the Pitt Rivers from 11 till 4pm and the discussion in the Natural History Museum is 2 until 3.
Awesome.
As well as being an expert in paleontology, Jen is also an expert in opera.
Both of these expertise are temporary, I should say. Okay, so coming to the North Wall Art Centre this Friday night and now Saturday as well, Opera Up Close by the company. This is part of the sort of new trend towards kind of minimalist, not really minimalist, it's just really small companies.
Yeah.
As we know from the lovely Henry V last summer, small can work really well and it can produce some added hilarity and some extra results in there. Opera Up Close started in a 35-seat theatre above a really rough pub in Kilburn, and they had no idea whether anybody was going to like this. But they produce absolutely brilliant operas, and it may be stripped down, but it's absolutely not lost its production values. This is really high-end stuff. It just means that because it's a smallish theatre and a smallish audience, they can do things like magic tricks on stage. And that's about. So they have a complete orchestra as rendered down to three people.
The sports.
Yeah, exactly. After, I believe it's going to be a clarinet, a cello and piano. And the band will be on stage throughout the entire piece. So there's no kind of, you know, let-up and orchestral shenanigans in the piece or anything like that. They are very visible. So they've restaged the Traviata and moved it to Prohibition era. And I haven't seen a Traviata, but I did see them do Alizia d'Amore in November, again at the North Wall, which they'd moved to the Golden Age of Hollywood. And it was brilliant. You think it's going to be a bit of a gimmick. How's this going to work with the opera? But actually, it means they can get a different slant on the male-female relations. They can make it make a lot more psychological sense to today's audiences. They can get much more satisfying characteristics out of different people. It was brilliant.
They know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing. They've got a really good technique there. So, yeah, I think that'd be very well worth seeing. There, I believe that Friday night is sold out already. Tickets left for Saturday, but I don't think they'll hang around long.
So no.
Get them there quick.
Thank you. Cool. Well, I don't know about you, but for the last week and a bit, I have been completely obsessed by the Winter Olympics.
You do know about me.
I've been telling everyone, I'm keeping everyone updated at work because, yeah, I think I'm a little bit more enthusiastic than most. But last day of Sochi is coming up on Sunday, and one of the last events and one of the highlights of the whole Olympics will be the gold medal match for the men's ice hockey. And this is starting at midday on Sunday, our time, and you can go and watch it in the pub with the Oxford Blue ice hockey team. So the Oxford University team, they'll all go down to the St Aldate's Tavern from 11:30 in the morning to watch the match, and you can go along and like experience all the great action in a great atmosphere and with people who actually know what they're talking about as well. The Oxford Blue team was actually established in 1885, and ice hockey 101, you don't need to know too much to watch it. Six players on each team on the ice at any given time, and there are 3 20-minute periods. And that's about it. But yeah, if you...
Sounds very bite-sized, accessible. I could get into this sport.
Yeah, exactly. Easy. And there's all the fights as well, which keeps it interesting. And if you want more ice hockey than that, the Oxford City Stars, who are the local town team, will be... Their next home game is next weekend on Sunday, the 2nd of March, against London Haringey Racers at the Oxford Ice Rink. And the men's and women's varsity ice hockey matches between Oxford Blue and Cambridge will be held at the ice rink on Sunday, the 9th of March.
Lots of ice hockey coming up.
Yeah.
Nice little roundup.
Thank you. Trying to inspire a generation.
Yeah, you're doing well. You inspired me. So the weekend's over, on to Monday, and the Oxford Brookes Sustainability Week begins. It is a whole week spread across the various Brookes campuses, which aims to raise awareness and start discussions about sustainability in our community. So Wendy Fry from the Brookes Sustainability Team has come to talk to us about the Brookes Sustainability Week, which is from the 24th to 28th of February. tell us a bit more about what's happening during these 5 days.
Right, so this is our first ever Sustainability Week. We used to do separate events throughout the year, so Go Green Week, Climate Week, everything separate, Fair Trade Fortnight. But for this year, we decided to make it into one big week, one overarching week. The idea started from a student focus group that we were running over semester one. So they came up with the essentials of the week. So we have 5 different themes, so each day has a different theme to it. We have Water Day, Transport Day, Food Day, Waste Day, and Energy Day, with a daytime program which is more internal in the university and an evening program that's open to both Brook students and staff but also to the wider community. So everybody's welcome and they're free events.
And you're also working with quite a few local partners, the Cyclocks, the cycling group. Who else is involved from the community?
So we have different partners involved. I had a look in the community who we could team up with, what was already happening. So based on that, we indeed have Cyclocks involved on our transport day. In the evening, we're doing a workshop, which is led by the former chair of Cyclocks, James Styring. We also have on Energy Day, when we're doing a bike-powered cinema, that's a joint event with Fossil Free Oxfordshire. And we have different local groups involved. Representatives of Greenpeace are going to come along, Friends of the Earth, Tar Free Oxford, Oxford Against Fracking, and of course a good proportion of the Fossil Free Oxfordshire movement.
And can you tell me 3 or 4 of your highlights from the week? I've sort of found a few things which I think really look really exciting, but what would you want to tell people about that are going to be really busy so they know in advance?
Right, so this week it is sort of centralised also around our 10th anniversary being the first fair trade university in the world. So on the Wednesday, on Food Day, we have a panel debate which will be chaired by the Lord Mayor of Oxford. And we will have the student and staff members involved who started the accreditation, who actually made sure that Brooks got accredited, who invented the concept of a fair trade university. We also have representatives of People and Planet there, the Environmental Association of Universities and Colleges. We also have the patron of the Fair Trade Foundation there. So it should be a really good panel debate. It's both celebrating our 10th anniversary as well as a debate around how universities can go beyond fair trade. So what's the next step in ethical procurement in universities? So that proves to be very popular. We also have on Energy Day a bike-powered screening of Do the Math, which explains a bit more about the fossil-free movement and the fossil-free divestment campaign, with lots of different groups involved, as I just mentioned, which also gets lots of momentum. We have people who can help power the cinema, but you can also just come along and just watch. But it is completely bike-powered, so we do need some people to step up and help us power the cinema. It's only a 42-minute documentary, but it's completely powered by bikes.
So thank you so much for coming in, Wendy, to tell us more about the Brook Sustainability Week. That's the 24th to the 28th of February, and we look forward to all the future events as well.
Brilliant, thank you.
If you want more details, you can listen to the longer cut of the interview with Wendy at the Oxcast Extra link, and you can see more at dailyinfo.co.uk for the events and feature page.
Now, at the beginning of the show, I mentioned that I would have some new music, but I've got some more. This is a New Faces tour that's coming to the Art Bar, formerly Bullingdon Arms, on Cowley Road, and it's Luke Sattell Singh, Eliza and the Bear, Farewell Junior and Annie Eve, who will all be playing. Luke Sattell Singh, he is a singer-songwriter. He was on the Sounder 2014 longlist, and he's sort of like Bon Iver-like sound, like really chilled out, really beautiful. Eliza and the Bear is an indie pop band. 5 guys, no Eliza, no bears, you know what I mean?
I like how, yeah, no Eliza is more perplexing than no bears.
Yeah, let's hope they don't get eaten by bears while they're here.
Oh.
Might have to find a Daily Info sheet to see what we're talking about there. Then Farewell Junior is Nick Rayner, who's another singer-songwriter. He's sort of closer to James Blake than James Blunt. beautiful vocals and sort of haunting and interesting sound. And yeah, they're going to be on at the Art Bar from 7:30 PM on Monday, and it's £8 to get in.
Really cool, talented lineup. There are definitely names I think we'll be talking about this time next year.
Yeah, I think
headlining the O2. They're the next Lauren Aquilina.
Yeah, expect to see them in the big venue up the road.
And finally, on Tuesday, if a group of famous poets were in a hot air balloon and about to crash, and you could only save one, who would you save? This is the question that Blackwell's asking at their Poets of Poets balloon debate on Tuesday at 7 p.m. So poetry experts will be defending their favourite poets, which will be Wordsworth, Shakespeare and Wilfred Owen. And the audience decides who will be thrown out of the hot air balloon and who stays in.
Brutal.
So it's a chaired debate where specialists basically have to passionately and really cleverly highlight the merits of their favourite poets. You'll definitely learn a lot about those people. Yeah. And as it's in a hot air balloon and it's a matter of life or death, never matter that all the poets are actually dead, I think it's going to be a heated debate.
Oh dear.
Thank you. It's a free event, but Blackwells have hosted balloon debates in the past and they're quite popular and a really cool concept. So you want to book in advance by emailing or going into the shop and booking your place.
Very cool event. Really looking forward to that one.
This has been the Daily Info Oxcast. We come out every Wednesday to tell you about the best events happening in and around Oxford.
You can like our page on Facebook and you can also follow us on Twitter at Daily Info Oxford.